Greetings, this is J.R. Dickey. Thanks for tuning in to our podcast. And by the way, don't forget our website, graceandtruth.net. I hope you're having a great day, but if not, hang with me. It's about to get better. Okay, today I think we've got something that's really worth thinking about. Let's get started. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. That's Luke 19:10. You know, I'll say this reverently, God lost something many, many years ago. Now, he always knew where it was, and actually he let it go as an essential part of his grand plan. As we consider the three parables Jesus taught concerning this, you may have always thought they were about evangelism, but I'd like to see them afresh with a desire to know our Lord. I, along with many others, have used these lessons to teach about God's patience, his desire to find the one who is lost, and all that's valid. But we need to understand some things first. In each one, someone or something is lost, and in each one, someone searches or waits patiently to find what was lost. The lost are you and me. In fact, all of mankind. The one who searches is Jesus. Let's look at each parable and consider the lessons. First, there is a lost sheep, roaming the hills, searching for good pasture and clean water. A shepherd knew each one of his flock and developed an attachment to them individually and as a group. Now, Jesus said in Luke 15, "What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost.'" So, he's got 100 sheep, and one wanders off. He leaves the 99 to go after the one who is lost. But where does he leave them? It says, in the wilderness. This total focus is on the one. Oh, he loves the 99, and presumably has an under-shepherd to care for them in the wilderness, but our lesson is that he is consumed with caring about the lost one. And what does he do when he finds it? Does he smack it with his rod or staff? Does he kick it and yell, "You stupid sheep?" No, he carries it on his shoulders, absolutely delighted, and he celebrates with his friends. Jesus sums up this tale, "I say to you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than the 99 just persons who need no repentance." That's verse 7. This story is about joy. The joy in heaven and the joy there over one person repenting of his or her sins exceeds the joy over the faithful 99. Now, why is that? Hang with me. I'll tell you why. Let's go on. So then Jesus follows with another parable. "Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls her friends and neighbors together, saying, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found the piece that I lost.' Likewise, I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents." Now, a shepherd with his sheep speaks of responsibility and caring, while this woman and her coins speaks of something valued. She lights a lamp, sweeps the house, and searches diligently. again, as with the first parable, when she finds a lost item, she rejoices with her friends. And again, the repentance of one and the consequent joy in heaven is described. Then for a third time, Christ brings home the lesson with the well-known parable of the prodigal son. It says, "Then he said, 'A certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me.' So he divided to them his livelihood. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in that land, and he began to be in want. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father. I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.' And he arose and came to his father. And when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring the fatted calf here and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' And they began to be merry." This parable displays repentance, compassion, forgiveness, and relationship. Now, the first two tales give us the perspective of the searcher, Jesus. This one shows us the familial perspectives of the lost son and the gracious father. But in this parable, like the first two, there is rejoicing when the one lost is found. And there is more to this story because there is someone who is not joyful. It says, "Now his older son was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, 'Your brother has come home, and because he has received him safe and sound, your father has killed the fatted calf.' But he was angry and would not go in. Therefore his father came out and pleaded with him. So he answered and said to his father, 'Lo, these many years I have been serving you. I never transgressed your commandment at any time, and yet you never gave me a young goat that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this son of yours came who has devoured your livelihood with harlots, you killed the fatted calf for him.' And he said to him, 'Son, you are always with me, and all that I have is yours. It was right that we should be merry and be glad, for your brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found.' Now, while the whole household is dancing and joyful, there's still one sourpuss. The other son, who was angry because of self-righteousness. He claims that he has never transgressed. But his transgression, which is more serious than his brother's prodigal living, is that he thinks he is worthy of his father's grace. This is the treachery of religion. It despises the father's goodness and envies those with true relationship. You see, the Father is all about demonstrating his profound love for the lost. He doesn't love the faithful but self-righteous son any less. But the joy of heaven, the joy of the Lord, is his redemption, his reconciliation, because it shows everyone his character. Heaven rejoices more for the one lost who is then found, because that ultimately demonstrates the gracious, loving character of our God. That is what makes heaven joyful for all of us who are there. The faithful son could rejoice along with everyone else, but chooses to be in a funk because his faithfulness he attributes to himself. So he stunk in Funkville. Friends, we need to get this down. It's all about our Lord, his goodness, his work, his will, his grace, his love, his mercy and forgiveness. All of it, everything, it's for him, by him, to him, and we get to join him in joy if we recognize this. Rejoice. Now may the Lord grant you peace in the midst of any storm and faith to trust him. Look for our next podcast, and may you realize more of his grace today.